C-3PO ignored the other droid.
Actually, it hasn't been terrible. A moment of disorientation, and then I woke up out of a refreshing oil bath. My battery's at full charge. If only I could have moved, I might have thanked my captors for their hospitality. But then, oh dear, the speech-making. Disorganized, ungrammatical fear-mongering with such leaps in logic.
The medical droid began pacing again.
Eliminate restraining bolt sockets, or start implanting them in organics. I'll take either solution.
Javon pried at the restraining bolt. It popped free and clattered onto the stage. C-3PO sagged and sighed in obvious relief.
Ah, much better, kind sir.
He looked up at the medical droid, his posture one of irritation.
You know, you could have allowed me the latitude to walk around a little, or even sit down while subjecting me to your lectures.
Ha! You are a slave, protocol droid. Embrace that realization. Own it!
Come on.
Javon grabbed C-3PO by the elbow and hustled him away from the tent.
I say!
Alana fell into place beside C-3PO.
They didn't hurt you?
No, young mistress. They simply inconvenienced me in order to make their political point. Ah, my communications faculties are coming back online. I say, I seem to have about an hour's worth of accumulated messages, many of them from you.
Alana nodded.
You were missing.
I suppose I was. I didn't think of it that way, of course, since from my perspective I was aware of my location. I suppose that means I didn't share your worry. Though I am touched that you did worry. Oh, it appears I have a message from Princess Leia. Some event of note taking place at the central dais. I'm supposed to make myself available to the Haven Queen Mother to offer translation services. It seems that her protocol droid knows fewer than 3,000 vocal variations in Clatooidean. Poor uneducated wretch.
You should go then.
Alana wondered what to do now. This wasn't going right. She'd wanted to find the mystery man before they found C-3PO.
Thank you, young mistress.
C-3PO began waddling off in the direction of the center of camp. Javon looked down at Alana.
So, are we done?
I suppose.
Do you want to go back to the Falcon or to see the speeches?
Neither. Alana thought about the tents they'd pass on the way to both destinations.
The Falcon.
All right. Shaking his head, Javon led the way back toward the transport's landing area. Alana kept behind him, smiling reassuringly up at him every time he looked back, and she kept her eyes open. Most of the tents in camp were full tents, with floors of the same hard-wearing material as the sides, but some were just canopies, open at the bottom, and some of them were not staked out with their sides entirely flush with the ground. There were gaps, and some of those were dark on the inside, suggesting that there was no one in them. Alana saw one such tent ahead. She pulled her sun hood up, though the sun was long since set, and signaled to Angie to stay nearby. She gave her Nexu a calming touch in the Force. The timing worked out just right. Javon had glanced back at her and was now staring forward. He wouldn't look back again for several seconds. The other members of the escort were meters away on parallel aisles. As silently as she could, Alana dropped flat and scuttled sideways under the back wall of a tent. There were only cots inside, one of them occupied by a napping Clatooinian. He did not awaken. Alana darted out the front flap and charged straight ahead through the camp. Now she was just another child-sized shape in the nighttime darkness, identical to scores of others in camp. Now, at least until she was found again, she could hunt. She headed for the edge of camp by which the dark Aura Man had left earlier.